And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we have another volume of secrets. This is volume 152. Can you believe it? We do this about once a month, so we've been doing it, obviously, for at least 152 months. And that's over 12 years when we've been doing secrets. And I love doing these secrets because it's sort of news that's either overlooked or unknown, unheralded, hidden, censored, banned, all of those and sometimes much more. Some of it's based on my, my unique research methods. A lot of people are astounded at the information we put out here. I've had a number of people write to me and said, Tex, I'd like to join your research staff. You know, I'd like to be on your team. And, they sent me their resumes, a number have, and boy, they're very accomplished folks, with college degrees and such, great researchers and fact checkers and all that. Well, I'm sorry, but we don't have anybody but one a fact checker and a researcher here, and his name is, well, Tex Mars. That's it. And not that I don't have a few folks here. Jerry, in fact, is over at the, I call it the keyboard here in the broadcast studio. And every once in a while, he'll help me with a little bit of information, correct something. Even I've said, hey, Tex, did you really mean that? And, well, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So I do have some good folks here. But basically, everything that I say and do comes out of my own head. Thanks to God, he's given me a lot of information. I do believe that. A lot of incredible information. And then as far as my research staff, it's men and women across the face of this globe who send me information. You know, I used to listen to radio here in Central Texas. In San Antonio, they had a very well-known radio show host. He's passed and gone on to be with the Lord now. His name is Alan Dale, WAI Radio. And he used to talk about people sending him information, and he sort of joked a lot. And he said, I've got a lot of alligators out there in the swamp coming up with little morsels, little tidbits. And he said, you gators keep on finding those morsels and tidbits. I liked old Alan Dale. He's quite a character. And I was on his radio program a number of times. I was blessed to be on it. And one time he asked me about George Bush Sr. right on air. He said, Tex, I voted for George Bush Sr. I hope I did the right thing. He said, I don't want to make God mad, but I'm finally old enough. He had become, I think, about 80 years old. He said, I finally understand now there really is a horrible conspiracy of the elite. And I'm afraid George Bush may be part of that. And I don't want to make God mad by supporting the New World Order conspiracy. Up to that time, he'd call people sort of lunatics if they believed in a conspiracy. But there he was asking me, Tex Mars, one of the most famous radio personalities in the history of the state of Texas. He was saying, and he meant it. I could tell his voice. He was almost pleading with me. Tell me. Have I done anything wrong? I don't want to make God mad at me. He went on to say, he says, you know, I don't think I'm very far away from going to see God, and I don't want him mad at me. Well, very, very interesting man. And, I wish I had more time on that. I'd tell you what I told Alan Dale. Maybe I will sometime. But today I want to talk to you about secrets, and I got a lot of things here. I got some things that are sort of, well, I think they're sort of funny. Maybe you will, too. And I was sort of laughing about them, you know, just reading these things. And I was glancing over them right before Jerry gave me the signal to begin the program here. And And I, you know, folks, this world is insane. Now, the worst thing that could happen to a sane man or woman, and I assume you, being a listener of this program, radio program, Power of Prophecy, you're probably okay. Yeah, there's probably 99% chance you're okay. I know I have about 1% crazies out there. And that's not always bad. You know, I've often said, you know, I've always loved the lyrics of that famous song by the immortal country music singer Waylon Jennings. I've always been crazy, but it's helped me from going insane. Well, I feel that way. I feel I've always been a little bit crazy, but it's helped me from going insane. But you know what, friends? Isn't it true? If they took 20 people that were totally sane and put them, you know, in an insane asylum, in a Looney Tunes place, a mental hospital, I don't think the psychiatrist would be able to know who was sane and who wasn't, who are really the inmates. And after it was all over, you know, they'd have 20 really crazy guys that had been in there, and then 20 people with sane that just visited for that day. And at the end of it all, it might just be that the psychiatrists, the doctors, are the ones that are crazier than the whole group. You know, I used to teach psychology, adult crisis and adjustment, a senior course in psychology for Park University. And I met a number of psychiatrists and psychologists, and I had their textbooks that I offered my students. And, you know, I always believed that just teaching psychology at college level made you a little bit nuts. So I quit teaching that course. Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, I continued to teach political science in American government, and that made me a little crazy too. So I finally just decided to start my own Christian ministry where I could be sane for a while. Let me tell you, the Bible says that God, if you follow God, He will give you a sound mind. Can you believe that? How do you get rid of all the craziness and insanity in the world? Well, follow Jesus Christ, follow the Bible. Now notice, I didn't say go join a church. That'll drive you insane. Probably. Although there are a few good churches left. Make sure you have one, but boy, most of them are nuts. The pastors are a bunch of Looney Tunes, and they're leading people right in down the yellow brick road to see the old wizard. Well, I always love to have a little fun on the air here because things are crazy. I mean, we got a president who's absolutely out of his mind. And the last president, George W. Bush, was too. Now we've got Obama. Some people call him an abomination, and I believe they're right. Although he's slick, he's smart. Obama is a lot slicker and smarter than George W. Bush, who was really just let's face it, folks. He was an uneducated, uncouth moron. I don't mind people who are uneducated, uncouth. I find a lot of them are quite smart. A lot of people have third grade educations that are a lot smarter than the PhDs that I met when I taught at the University of Texas for 5 years. Yeah, that's right. I walked around campus and saw some of the biggest nuts in the world walking around as full professors. And then you go out to the street and you meet a guy who's got, you know, high school, if that, and he's a lot smarter, has more common sense than the professors I met every day. That warped my mind a lot, caused me to rethink my priorities and perspectives. Well, in any case, listen to this. This is from the London Mail newspaper recently, the Daily Mail from London. The headline is, motorist pulled over and quizzed for, now get this, here's his crime, laughing at the wheel. It says, when Gary Sanders was pulled over by police, he was sure he had done nothing wrong. He had been obeying the speed limit and he was not driving dangerously. But to his astonishment, he was told he had been stopped for excessive laughing. Well, Well, it says that Mr. Sanders was talking to somebody on his car phone. And it was legal because it was one of those hands-free telephones. And he was talking with a friend. He was chuckling at what his friend had said. And he got to laughing while he was talking to his friend on the car telephone. Well, a cop saw him and pulled him over and says, you know, I had to stop you because you're laughing at the wheel. Excessive laughing. And he told him that laughing, the officer said, laughing while driving a car can be an offense. Well, if that is the end of the matter, it says here in the paper, Mr. Sanders, 47 years of age, would probably, well, he would have laughed the whole thing off. But as it turns out, the policeman was dead serious about it and subjected him to a 35-minute grilling. And then the cop took him down to the police station for a further 90 minutes of his time. Laughing without a license. I don't know what the exact... They finally let the man go. Well, what's Great Britain coming to? Well, it's no worse than the United States. Now get this. Here's the next headline. This is from the United States. You'll love this. And this is from Fox News. Well, they're, of course, a little nutty over there with Sean Hannity and O'Reilly and all the nuts. Well, listen to this one. This is from the Science and Technology Department. Are you worried, dear friends, about climate change? You know, the global warming scare? Well, boy, this will keep you up nights. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to sleep tonight. Listen to this headline. Burping worms may contribute to climate change. That's right. Burping worms may contribute to climate change. I'll tell you, friends, I've seen a lot of worms. I used to go fishing a bit. I don't anymore. But I don't really remember ever seeing any burping worms. Have you ever seen a burping worm? I remember I went to the place where they sold worms for fishing. They had a great big, you know, metal vat there and said, you know, take all the worms you want, put them in a little styrofoam container, and go up and pay for them at the counter. And there they were, thousands of earthworms ready to be harvested, taken by fishermen. You would think they'd just be making up a rancor and a horrible sound, all burping at once, but it was very silent. The worms, I mean, they didn't burp a word. But anyway, according to a new study, probably paid for by your taxpayer dollars, probably part of George Bush's or Obama's stimulus package, dear friends, it says, worms and other aquatic animals that feed on lake and stream bottom sediments burp out small amounts of nitrous oxide, a potent greenhouse gas. Now, nitrous oxide, I think that's that laughing gas. So there's burping worms on the bottom, on the sediment of lakes and streams and all that. And creeks. And they literally burp out nitrous oxide, laughing gas. And this is causing climate change. And folks, the world, according to Al Gore, is probably going to end in another, who knows, 26 months or something. That's about all you got to live, because the world's going to end because of these burping worms. Now, a few years ago, it was flatulent cows. Cows that let out gas. And they said that this was polluting the earth. Now, I think it's liberals that let out gas myself. Flatulent liberals, but, you know, human beings. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why many people like me, conservatives, don't visit the White House. Because of flatulent liberals. And probably Congress must be full of burping worm people, because they're letting out a lot of laughing gas. And I don't know, folks, I could write. Oh, man. Well, but it doesn't stop there. Wait. I mean, these are legitimate newspaper items. Here's from another one. And London reports it, but it's going on in the United States. This is from the London Telegraph newspaper, dated March 7th, 2009, climate denial, climate change denial is now a mental disorder, according to the psychiatrist and psychologist in the United Kingdom. And I guess that'll catch on here in America. Now, you know, about 15 or 20 years ago, they finally declared that homosexuality was not a mental disorder. So you can be a queer and you can marry another man. If you're a woman, you marry another woman. You're perfectly normal. At least that's what the, you know, psychiatric community says. But if you deny global warming, I suppose if you deny that there are burping worms that are contributing to climate change, whatever climate change means, you have a mental disorder. Well, now you know why I'm so nuts. Now you know why Tex Mars, as Waylon Jennings said, is so crazy. I'm so crazy that I'm not even insane. It's kept me from going insane. Obviously, I have a mental disorder. A lot of people have written to me over the years and said, Tex, I think you're crazy. Well, I can see they're right because I don't believe in climate change. I'm a denier. Sort of like Holocaust denial. And you know, there are some crazies. No, not they can't be crazy because the scientific community backs them up. Scientific community doesn't back me up. Well, it really does, but that's another story. But listen to this, folks. Holocaust denial, you go to prison. Now, climate change denial, many are now saying that they believe this is a mental disorder, that they should put people away in psychiatric mental hospitals and clinics. You need to be locked up if you don't believe in global warming. Or it might be such a hideous crime, so outrageous, so offensive to public sensibilities that you need to go to prison. Now, you know, our prisons are so full of these illegal aliens that have been killing and raping and robbing. If they would just start locking up people with all of these mental disorders because they don't believe in global warming and climate change, they probably won't have room for all those illegal aliens. And they'll let all them go. That's what they usually do, you know. The most serious criminals, the most hardened criminals, are kept in prison. And then the prison cells get so full that the state legislatures and the governors let, you know, the more softy criminals go. Now, I know that murderers and rapists and child molesters will probably be let go, and people like you and me, who are climate change deniers, we deserve to be there forever, locked away. That's what that's what the sane world, so-called, says. Yep, global warming. Global warming is true. Climate change is true. The world is going to end. Chicken Little is correct, finally proven, says Al Gore. It's not even, you can't even discuss this matter. It's not worthy of discussion. Even if you have 1,000 scientific studies showing it's not true, you cannot bring those up because you are officially a climate denier and you deserve a prison cell. Yes, absolutely. Meanwhile, the government's getting on this, you know, they're getting on this deal. I mean, they're moving fast. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State of the United States, can you believe that? Hillary Rodham, or Rodman, whichever it is, Clinton, gave a speech over in Brussels, and she echoed Rahm the Cruel Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff. Let me read this to you from Reuters News Service. Says Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told an audience on Friday, quote, never waste a good crisis. We have a crisis, a climate crisis, she says. And we must never waste a good crisis. As she highlighted the opportunity of rebuilding economies in a greener, less energy intensive model. Clinton told young Europeans at the European Parliament that global economic turmoil provides a fresh opening. Never waste a good crisis. Don't waste it when it can have a very positive impact on climate change and energy security. Ah, that's right. People, millions are being laid off of their jobs. Huge corporations from General Motors to American Airlines are fearful of going bankrupt. Banks are shutting down. But this is a marvelous opportunity to build a green world and to put away in prison cells all those climate deniers. Don't waste a good opportunity. This is an friends, this is not a bad thing, this economic turmoil and crisis. If you've lost your job, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because this is an opportunity to push environmentalism. Oh, yes. I'm sure you'll agree. If you've lost your job, you can't pay your mortgage, medical bills are piling up, you're at the end of your wits, don't worry. You're part of a great, grand environmental juggernaut. You are making it possible by losing your job, by losing all of your life savings, maybe your IRAs, your 401k, retirement pension. You're making it possible for them to do something about global warming. And friends, then they say that we, you and I, are nuts. And they're the ones saying these kind of things. Burping worms and economic catastrophe being a real good opportunity. I'm telling you, friends, they have turned the whole world into a loony bin. They are. They're nuts, and now they want to drive us. They want to take our minds and wrap us into their insane matrix. I'm telling you, friends, stay out of it. It's like a honeycomb. It's just like a bee's or hornet's nest. Stay out of that honeycomb. It's not so sweet when you get involved in it, when you get stuck in it. It's like you become a tar baby. And what happens to your mind eventually when you believe all this nonsense? All this environmental craziness. Well, I remember the lines of George Orwell's classic utopian vision of the future, 1984. After being put through the psychological processing complex, the poor hero of the book, Winston, confessed finally that he loved Big Brother. He loved Big Brother. Folks, don't fall into the game. Don't love Big Brother. Well, here's an item I wish was crazy, but actually, this is a truthful item, evidently. It's an article entitled Flying Syringe Mosquitoes. Now, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, oh man, you won't believe it. Evidently, this is on Yahoo News. You know, Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, one of the world's richest men, some say he's the richest man in the world. He's Jewish, calls himself a secular or atheist Jew. Well, he and his wife started a foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, they have awarded $100,000 each to scientists in 22 countries for various projects. Now, they're especially enamored of, you know, Planned Parenthood and all kind of stuff like that, abortion stuff. But now they've got around to funding a Japanese scientist proposal to turn mosquitoes into flying syringes delivering vaccines. Now, evidently, a lot of people in Africa are afraid of needles. They're afraid of syringes. They don't want to get shots. whether it's, you know, just to stop this or that, you know, typhoid or whatever disease it is. And the idea is to make mosquitoes into flying syringes. So you put the vaccine in a bunch of millions. So you grow mosquitoes. You have like a mosquito factory. Millions, maybe billions, trillions of mosquitoes. Now, you know, mosquitoes go out there and tap into people's blood with their little, you know, needle-like proboscis, which is a big word, as you know, for nose. Beak, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they have. They have a needle point. In any case, and believe me, I know mosquitoes because I come from around the swampy area of East Texas, and man alive. But in any case, it seems that maybe there's the belief that you can put the vaccine inside mosquitoes, and then when they bite people, they'll pump them with the vaccine. Flying syringes. Now, it seems sort of crazy, but Professor Hiroyuki Matsuoka at Jichi Medical University in Japan thinks it may be possible. Usually, you see, many times mosquitoes have given disease to human beings. What, yellow fever, and I can't even remember, malaria. They transmit these bad diseases onto people. But if they can be genetically engineered to produce vaccines, then they'll go around biting people and vaccinating people. So, you know, you go out for a friendly night, you know, you light up your barbecue grill, you're standing there cooking your hamburgers, and you're waiting to watch a football game or something on TV, and wow, one of these flying syringes comes up and whammo, you've been vaccinated for smallpox or tetanus or something. Seems just ideal. Don't all of us want to have zillions of flying mosquitoes running around, saving our lives, biting us all over our bodies? And I'm sure those poor people in Africa are going to be thrilled when the Gates Foundation and Professor, what's his name here, Matsuoka, when they release all these billions of mosquitoes into their environment. It's just what you've always wanted. Oh, man, lying in your bed at night getting eaten up by vaccine-carrying mosquitoes. Saving your life. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Whew. I tell you, this Jerry, this program was... I'm beginning to go nuts. Well, I got the next one is the best. I think I'm going to take this on the other side of the break because this is really a good one. Did you hear about the lady, a complete stranger that showed up at a funeral down in North Carolina? They were having a funeral service there, and she shows up with a magic wand. And she prances up to the coffin, to the casket, where the departed, the dead man, was lying there in his casket. And she struck him on the head, or, you know, the deceased, with her wand. And then she did a little dance all around the casket. Did a little magic ritual after striking him on the head with her wand. And the family and everybody looks at, who is this woman? She's out of her mind. Well, I'll tell you more about the stranger that showed up at a funeral and hit a dead man with a magic wand when we return. It's a true story, friends. Believe it. It's part of this world. It's part of the Matrix, that old honeycomb, the tar baby stuff. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars, and this is Secrets. This is Tex Mars again. You know, we've just released my newest video documentary, an amazing, amazing video entitled The Sun at Midnight. Now, I'm not going to reveal to you right now on the air the meaning of that phrase or term, the sun at midnight. But believe me, when you find out that in this video about two of the world's most famous occultists, one is the man known as the Great Beast. I mean, even the Church of Satan was founded based on his principles. And how inside the Great Pyramid, a great light came to these two men, about 80 years apart, by the way, from each other. A great light came and a voice came out and told them about, well, about pyramid powers. Pyramid powers. A great light in the very midst, the very bowels, deep inside the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, where these two men were spending the night, a great voice of Lucifer came forth and gave these men, transmitted these men a message. And I tell you about it on this video. Pyramids of mystery, temples of blood. That's what the Sun at Midnight is all about. You'll find out about the Great American Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. Did you know we have a Great American Pyramid? I've been there. The Rock and Roll Museum, it's architecturally designed as a pyramid. Now, what has rock and roll got to do with the pyramid? There's the North American Union pyramids, three pyramids, one each for Mexico, Canada, and the United States to commemorate the signing of the pact to bring all three nations together. George W. Bush agreed to that with the Prime Minister of Canada and Mexico, but President Obama is a confirmed believer, and one of the first things he did in office was to travel to Canada and confirm that the North American Union would become a reality. Then there's the gravesite memorial to the founder of the cultic Jehovah's Witnesses religion, Mr. Charles Taze Russell. Did you know that his memorial is in the shape of a pyramid? If you go to Las Vegas, you'll see two incredible pyramids. One is the Luxor Casino. A huge sphinx stands outside. An amazing laser light is on top of a gigantic pyramid. They say the elevator inside the Luxor Hotel and Casino doesn't go up and down. It goes sideways. Things are strange inside pyramids. There's the center of the world. At least that's what the man who created the center of the world pyramid says about his little town, Felicity, California, population 2, exactly 2 inhabitants. But he says it's the center of the world. And to mark the place that's the center of the world, now I know you're saying, how can any point on earth be the center of the world, since the earth is supposedly a round sphere, but that's what they say there in Felicity, California. And they have a big pyramid built to commemorate the place. Then there's a great pyramid, an Egyptian pyramid, in front of the Louvre Museum where the Mona Lisa is in Paris, France. You won't believe it, but it was put there by the president of France at the time, François Mitterrand, who, according to the Paris newspaper Le Monde, meaning the world newspaper out of Paris, France, the most famous newspaper in the nation of France, it reported that François Mitterrand, the president of their country, once each year went to the top of a sacred mountain, a sacred holy mountain in the Pyrenees, and got on in his lotus-legged New Age occult stance, you know, sat down on top of the mountain and beat on sticks to invite the spirits of the earth to come forth and communicate with him. The president of France. I wonder if Obama does such things. Did you know that there's a skyscraper in New York and on top of it is a great pyramid? And it's called the Bankers Trust Building. Our currency says, "In God We Trust," printed on it. But what God is it that the bankers do trust? I don't think it's Jesus. Then there's the U.S. Mint. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C., you know, the the Treasury Department have confirmed to me, I have a letter to prove it, that the U.S. Mint was designed by a Masonic architect using Masonic principles, one of which is a great pyramid inside a circle. And I have pictures of it in this video, The Sun at Midnight. Did you know that Rothschild has built a great Masonic memorial in Israel? That's right. In a city in Israel, there's a great Masonic memorial, and it is in the form of a pyramid, and at the very apex or top of it, there is an all-seeing eye. And if you travel to North Korea, communist dictator Kim Jong-il has just had his workers put the finishing touches on a grand spectacle of a building. It's the tallest building in the capital city of North Korea, which is, of course, Pyongyang, that capital city. And that building is in the shape of a great pyramid. Pyramids are being built all around the world to join the ancient pyramid and pyramids in Egypt. What is the meaning? What is the secret of the pyramid? Never before revealed, but now here it is on this video, documentary, in DVD. I'm sorry we don't have it in VHS, only in DVD format. The Sun at Midnight. The first time ever these things were revealed. The Sun at Midnight. Friends, you have to have this video. And I state something interesting in the video. I state that these mystical and magical new pyramids are rising in America and on every continent. Yet amazing evidence proves that the architects and builders of these geometric curiosities are not from our world. Who are they? Ha ha. Discover the facts. The Sun at Midnight, Pyramids of Mystery, Temples of Blood. You can get this video by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673 in the United States of America or Canada. Or you can phone us on our regular phone line. That's area code 512-263-9780. And use your charge card, MasterCard, Visa, or Discover. Even if you're in Romania or Ukraine or Greece, Israel, doesn't matter where you're at, Saudi Arabia, you can call and order. Now, we have to add a little extra, you know, for the shipping and all the, you know, the foreign exchange and all that, but we'll get it to you. We'll get this video, The Sun at Midnight, just come out, just released. In fact, really, tomorrow is the first release day. So we're giving it to you. We're telling you ahead of time about this. The Sun at Midnight. Now, you can send us, if you're in the United States, you can send us $25, add $5 shipping and handling, total of $30. We've had to increase our postage. Can you believe the U.S. Postal Service claims they're $2 billion in the red, and now they're just, they've been raising everybody's rates left and right? Oh, it just makes me mad. But we had to add a little bit, but what can I do? $25, 60-minute DVD, The Sun at Midnight. Please add $5. That takes care of all shipping and handling. $30. Send us a check or a money order or cash to Power of Prophecy. Power of Prophecy. Our address here in Austin, Texas is 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, now that phone number, if you want to call during the workday, during Central Time, 8 to 5:30, that is 1-800-234-9673. We don't charge you for the phone call, just for the video, and we'll get it right out to you, the DVD, The Sun at Midnight. Now let's return to our regular program. We're doing a volume of secrets. And I was telling you about the stranger that showed up at a funeral and hit a dead man. Talk about the occult intruding into our daily lives. Well, it turns out it was a woman named Nicole Leonard. It was in Candler, North Carolina. Let me just read to you right out of this news item. It says, Tammy Fousel said that she and her family were shocked at what happened during her uncle's funeral. A Candler, North Carolina woman danced in front of the service, a total stranger. She waved a wand around the casket, opened the lid, laid her hands on the deceased's head, and struck the body with a wand. And that's all in the incident report as recorded by the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. Seems that Miss Leonard, Nicole Leonard, 25 years of age, has been charged with disturbing a funeral and public disorderly conduct. Boy. Now, Miss Fossil and the family said they had never before seen the woman and had no idea why she would have been at the funeral. And by the way, this did not occur at the funeral home, but at a church, at a Church of God church. Everybody was just kind of flabbergasted, said Miss Fousel. They didn't know what was going on. Now, this woman, she came in, and evidently she was very experienced in witchcraft. She had been studying in witchcraft, and she somehow thought she could resurrect the dead. She took the flowers from the top of the casket, threw them at the family. After opening up the lid and putting her hands on the man's head and hitting his body with a magic wand, she threw the flowers at the family, and then she pranced out, got in her car, a burgundy-colored Toyota, and drove off. Everybody just standing there looking, watching her drive off. Well, then they immediately called on their cell phone the sheriff's office, and they were able to stop Miss Leonard heading south on Interstate 385. Deputies asked the woman why she acted the way she did. And Miss Leonard said that, well, she said, I just felt it was the right thing to do at the time. She saw there was a funeral going on at the church, so she just stopped and went on in, and, well, she did what she did. I'm telling you, folks, witchcraft will addle your brain, and this is a perfect example. You know, there are a lot of things been going on crazy like this for many, many years. We just didn't know about it, or we overlooked it or disregarded it. Got a letter from Steve from Bakersfield, California. That's a great city, Bakersfield. Yeah, Bakersfield. Oh, I've been there many times. My brother-in-law used to live there, Bakersfield, California. Steve wrote to him and sent me a real nice letter. I won't tell you about all of it, but he said that he went out and rented the old kids' movie Dumbo. You know about the elephant that had big ears? I saw that when I was a kid. I never did quite get it. But anyway, I saw it. I never did like that movie. Never did. Walt Disney movie, if I'm not mistaken, Dumbo, about this elephant that had big ears. He says, well, I went out and rented it yesterday, Steve says, and watched it again. My, my, my. Chapter 13, actually, that's what it says. Chapter 13 of the movie shows the pyramid. It shows a serpent. It shows the all-seeing eye. And then, after showing all of these things, Dumbo, the elephant's trunk, turns into a, well, a male organ. Let's just call it a phallus. I was so amazed, right, Steve, I just had to write to you. Boy, thank you, Steve, for writing to us. And did you know that was in the movie? That's incredible. You know, we did the Bell Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle video. Have a DVD of that. People can order that. And there I show that one of the Disney movies, the one with a fairy tale castle in it, actually it's the artist sneakily got in, you know, covertly. He designed the castle. If you look at it very closely, it's a male's penis or phallus. Oh, boy. Hey, here's something for real. Of course, that was real, too, about Dumbo. Can you believe all that's in a kid's movie? Well, here's something interesting. President Obama is moving to stamp out tax havens. That's right. Using the old Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner That's, by the way, a Rockefeller and Kissinger clone, his Secretary of Treasury. Obama is moving to close up the world's most secretive tax havens. These are jurisdictions, offshore tax centers, where people have been hiding their money. The rich have been hiding their money. You know, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, Switzerland. Switzerland supposedly had 53,000 numbered secret bank accounts. Most of them by American bigwigs. Hiding their money so they won't have to pay taxes on it. Probably a lot of them are drug kingpins and so forth. And all of this has been allowed to go on for scores of years until now. President Obama stamped them out. He's closing them down. Now, at first you say this is delightful. This is good. All this untaxed wealth. And he's sicking the IRS on them. They're investigating them now. I guess a lot of rich people now are shaking in their boots. Here was their mistake. Friends, now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you a little secret now. There is one country, however, left, and that wasn't even mentioned as one of the tax havens. There is one nation on earth that if you're of a certain race and DNA, you can hide your money. Only one nation where you now can get a secret bank account. The nation of Israel. Tel Aviv has become the financial capital of the world. That was the meaning of the blowdown by an inside job of the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. It meant the rise of a new world commercial and financial center, Tel Aviv, Israel. Tel Aviv was founded by Rothschild in the year 1909. Read about it in Encyclopedia Britannica or the Encyclopedia Americana or Wikipedia. And if you're a rich Jew, you can hide your money. For example, take a certain rich Jew named Bernie Madoff. Mr. Madoff, according to the U.S. government, stole in his Ponzi scheme some $65 billion from people who thought they were investing in a sure bet in the stock market through this financial wizard genius, Mr. Madoff. Now, Mr. Madoff, it seems my research have been able to document something that no one will tell you. Mr. Madoff was not only running this $65 billion, not thousand, not million, but $1 billion Ponzi scheme. But he also was highly respected as the head or president of the American Jewish Congress. He represented all the Jews and all the Jewish organizations of America. Now, the head of the World Jewish Congress was a man named Bronfman, Edgar Bronfman, of Canada and the United States. Edgar Bronfman, he owns Seagram's Whiskey distillery, the largest liquor maker in the world. And Mr. Bronfman, as it turns out, also is the chief shareholder of a bank in Israel named Israel Discount Bank that's headquartered in Tel Aviv, Israel, but also has branches in New York, London, and other places. And it seems that Mr. Madoff put all his money with the Israel Discount Bank that's owned primarily by the head of the World Jewish Congress, Edgar Bronfman. By the way, Bronfman owns, he and his son, Bronfman Jr., own Hollywood studios and recording, music companies. I mean, all the top stars, and it goes on and on, but all their holdings, it's just amazing. But their biggest holding is the liquor. Whiskey, vodka, gin, all, you know, the whole range of liquor. It seems that Madoff got all this money and he didn't spend it, but he deposited it through thousands of wire transfers to Israel Discount Bank that was run by his pal, head of the World Jewish Congress, Mr. Bronfman. Now, they've arrested Mr. Madoff, and he's now in a prison cell. At least that's what they say. For all I know, he may be enjoying, you know, a sex romp and party at some palatial estate on Long Island with all his girlfriends and, you know, bimbos drinking all of the Seagram's liquors and having a ball right now, and they're just claiming he's in a prison cell. We really don't know where Mr. Madoff is. Oh, I know what you read in the newspapers, but, friends, the Washington Post is owned by Jews, and the Chicago Tribune is owned by Mr. Zell, and he's a Jew, and I think you get the picture. They say they tell us what they want us to know. That's why I know many of you listen to Power of Prophecy. You get the truth here. How many have told you, how many news outlets have told you that Mr. Madoff kept his $65 billion in the Israel Discount Bank in the nation of Israel? And that's why they can't get to it today. They found only a few paltry million dollars. And everybody's asking, where's all the rest of the money? Nobody could ever spend that much. Even with his very extravagant lifestyle, there's no doubt that Mr. Madoff and his wife, Ruth, probably didn't spend over $200 or $300 million all these years. Where's all the rest of the money? I'll tell you where it's at. It's in a Bronfman bank in Israel, and they're not going to give it back. But now we go one step further. It's not just Mr. Madoff's Ponzi scheme. We now have a situation where, according to USA Today, since this so-called economic crisis and credit crunch, our government, through the Fed Reserve Bank, which is a Jewish-run operation, that's right, Alan Greenspan, Paul Volcker, every chairman of the Federal Reserve in my lifetime and your lifetime has been Jew. The Fed Reserve and the Treasury Department, and God, come on, Clinton's Secretary of Treasury, Rubin, Jew. Wall Streeter. George Bush's Secretary of the Treasury, Paulson, a Jew. Obama's Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Tim Geithner, a Jew. And, of course, over at the Fed Reserve, they now have Mr. Ben Bernanke. His middle name is Shalom, Ben Shalom Bernanke. He's a Jew. $12.2 trillion have been paid to banks, mostly to five banks in America. $12.2 trillion. All the riches of America have been extracted. Our country and its financial institutions have been hollowed out. And yet the banks say they don't have enough. They need more, says Mr. Geithner this very weekend. And now they're going to give other, approve more money and give more trillions of dollars to the banks. As far as the workers of General Motors and Chrysler, to hell with them, says Obama and Geithner and Rahm the Cruel Emanuel, White House Chief of Staff, a Jew. To hell with them, they say. Friends, one bank alone, Citibank, has received $160 billion that they admit to. And they say that General Motors could stay in business if they get another $26 billion. That's a paltry, pitiful sum compared to how much they paid out for the banks. And they're going to get nothing back from that. They've stolen all our money. Don't you realize they've hollowed out America and they're bankrupting the airlines, department stores, the ones that are not owned by Jews. Circuit City had to close down. Many others are going to close down. Retail chains, Linens and Things closed down. And there's a lot more going to come. Listen to me, friends. They've hollowed out America. And they've sent all of our money to Israel. Israel is now the financial capital of the world. And $12 trillions of dollars from America has been sent to Israel. And it's sitting there now. They're going to bankrupt us. They're going to drive us down to third world status. We're going to be a peasant nation. And then we will be glad for all the Mexicans to come in because we're going to be just as poor as Mexico is. Mexico is on fire now from the drug cartels. And who do you think is behind the drug cartels? The CIA and the Drug Enforcement Administration. Our own government is funding the drug war. But there is no war. They're letting all these people come in. Now listen, that's why we went to Afghanistan. One of the reasons, not only for oil, but the Taliban, the Muslims, had cut out all of the heroin poppy fields, and we had to go back in so we could let, so they could be replanted. Now Afghanistan is burgeoning, is booming with heroin poppy fields. Just fly over in a helicopter, look down, or a Piper cup, and you can see them, all the little red flowers growing placidly in all the agricultural outlets and fields of Afghanistan. The Taliban cut off the neck of any drug dealers or drug producers. But now America is the king of Afghanistan, and the CIA is doing the shipping of the heroin all over the world. This is just the truth. It's the absolute truth. But what I want you to know is that AIG, take it for example, supposedly an insurance company. But what was their main job in insuring? They insured that banks wouldn't lose a lot of money over these crooked criminal derivatives markets, credit swaps and so forth. The banks were leveraged 30, even 50 to 1. In other words, they only had one real dollar for every 50 they claimed. And who was insuring this money that was a mirage? AIG, American Insurance General Corporation. And now the American government has given hundreds of billions of dollars to AIG so they can pay these huge banks, including a London bank and a Hong Kong bank and J.P. Morgan Chase Bank and Citibank and Bank of America and Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. These are the banks. There's only a handful. Most American banks are doing quite good, thank you. But now they're all going to be bankrupted, and all the money is being drawn from all the little banks, all the home banks, all the state banks across the United States. They're being hollowed out, and all of their money is being taken, and all of your future is being taken away by the Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Tim Geithner, Rothschild crowd, George Soros, the whole kit and caboodle of them, these Jews, and the banking Wall Street community. And it's being sent to Israel. We are being defrauded of all of our riches. It is our destiny because we gave our nation over to a foreign power. We allowed Israel, a little bitty nation in the Middle East, to control the 300 million population in the United States of America. We were more interested in sex and liquor and party time and football and sitcoms and Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters, and they stepped right in and took it all. The end of America as we know it, right before our eyes. Who really is Dumbo? I think it's the American people, not you, friends. You're awake. You're listening to this program. You know the truth. We need to go out and tell more people. We need to wake up more people. There are too many Dumbos out there. And they're lost. And they need rescue. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power Prophecy. We've been talking about some secrets today. It's been my great privilege being with you. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.